that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
I wonder what the spiritual health of each of our hearts are today.
The scripture this morning from Ephesians 3 is a heartfelt letter from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian Christians, meant to encourage them in their faith as they face difficult times. The Christians at Ephesus were most likely Gentile believers who lived in a city which opposed the Christian message. Ephesus, on the west coast of present-day Turkey, was a major metropolitan center of trade, which also honored the gods of Greece and Rome. And as we read in Acts 29, a riot broke out against the Christians, which was generated or created by the sellers of icons to the gods Diana and particularly Artemis, because they were jealous of Paul, jealous of the faith, and were afraid they'd lose their business. Later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, the Ephesian Christians are accused of abandoning their first love, that is, their love of Christ. Christians at that time in that part of the world were persecuted routinely for their faith. And that's not unlike today. Some persecution is mild, such as ridicule for following Jesus. Other persecution is severe and deadly, such as what is happening in Nigeria. Recently, last week, 280 Christians were slaughtered in Nigeria because they believed in Jesus. Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The Lord gives us faith and the power to have hearts of forgiveness, of patience, and endurance under stress and any form of persecution. Do you ever consider the facts about the heart? The average heart is the size of a fist in an adult. Your heart will beat 115,000 times each day. Your heart pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood every day. The earliest known case of heart disease was identified in the remains of a 35-year-old Egyptian mummy. Christmas Day is the most common day of the year for heart attacks to happen. Most heart attacks happen on a Monday, so you should be praying tomorrow. The human heart weighs less than 1 pound. However, a man's heart on average is 2 ounces heavier than a woman's heart. A woman's heart beats slightly faster than a man's heart. If you were to stretch out your blood vessel system, it would extend over 60,000 miles. Laughing is good for your heart. It reduces stress and gives a boost to your immune system. So you should laugh every day. Our hearts are certainly important to us, and we need to do our best to keep them healthy. I ran across this cartoon, and the picture is of a man sitting on the examination table of a doctor's office, and the doctor facing him, obviously asking him, you know, "How's your heart?" And the patient says, "Doc, I'm taking better care of my heart. I've started using aspirin as one of my pizza toppings." That's probably not what the doctor intends. Our physical heart is an amazing organ God has placed within us to sustain life and to send nourishment. Anyone who has ever had a heart attack well understands how vital our hearts are to sustaining our life. And to have an attack is an extremely frightening experience and is a wake-up call to better care for that which God has given to us. The Apostle Paul in our scripture this morning speaks about the heart in a much different way. Paul spoke of the heart as the inner life of men and women, the source and center of the soul, the spirit of a person. We still see the heart in the same way when we say something like, my heart goes out to you. The heart has its reason, which reason knows not, Blaise Pascal said, from the bottom of my heart. Or as kids, we used to say to keep a secret, what did we say? Cross my heart and hope to die. I don't think I'd say that today. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, that is, guard your soul, for everything you do flows from it. The point is this, we see these things, we say these things to express our sincerity, our hopes, our desires, and our love about the deep things within us. But Paul here is talking about the integrity and sincerity and genuineness of our faith in Christ. As new creations in Christ, our hearts, that is our souls, are protected by God for health, vitality, and to live in unwavering faith. In Christ, our hearts are strengthened by the power of the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The context of this whole book and this scripture is that Paul is writing from prison suffering for the gospel. His desire is that the Ephesians, as he is writing from prison, remain strong in their faith and that they have the power of Christ within them. When J. Wilbur Chapman was in London, he had an opportunity to meet General Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, who at that time was past 80 years of age. Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the victories. Then the American Angelus asked the general if he would disclose his secret for success. He hesitated a second, Dr. Chapman said, and then he says this, and I saw the tears come into General Booth's eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities. From the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Dr. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with General Booth knowing that the greatness of a man's power, of the power that Christ gives to us in our hearts, is the measure of our surrender to Jesus. General Booth gave his heart, his self, his surrender to God, who loved him, and through that call, called him to the poor of London. And in that, he was strong. The Apostle Paul experienced the strength of God in his own weakness when he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he, that is the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. In Christ, Christ dwells within our hearts through faith. The God that dwells in our hearts fills us with his grace, and he keeps that faucet of love always on so that we are constantly filled to overflowing. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody held up a glass and asked, how can I get the air out of this glass? One man shouted, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and filled the glass. There, he said, all the air is now removed. He then went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there, but being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. This is exactly how the Spirit strengthens us, not by trying to do what only God can do, but to be filled by the love and grace of God through faith. Faith connects us with Christ, who gives us the strength to accomplish what are God's possibilities for us. And what is faith? The best scripture that attests to that is the scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, 1, which states, "Now faith is the assurance of what we hoped for and certain of what we do not see." That is Jesus. In Christ, God's love surpasses what the heart could even know. Faith opens our hearts to more love for God, more love for others, and more love even for people that may hurt us. Christ fills us with faith that goes far beyond what we can even see or even imagine. There's a story of a Florida priest who was murdered in 2016, and he appealed beyond the grave for his alleged killer to be shown mercy. Reverend Rene Robert requested in a letter that he had written 22 years previously, requested that whoever took his life be spared execution, no matter how heinous the crime or how much I have suffered. The body of this 71-year-old priest from St. Augustine, Florida, was found riddled with bullets in Georgia in April of 2016. Authorities say he was killed days earlier by a man by the name of Stephen, who he had been trying to help for months. Stephen was a repeat offender and had asked the priest for a lift in Jacksonville, Florida, before abducting and murdering him. At the time of the trial, the prosecutor was pushing for the death penalty. But in 1995, the priest had signed a Declaration of Life document, which was witnessed and notarized by a lawyer. And it said, "I request that the person found guilty of homicide for my killing not be subject to or put in jeopardy of the death penalty under any circumstances." You see, Father Robert devoted his life to helping society's most troubled people, including convicts and the mentally afflicted. He was well aware of the potential violence that might be involved in his ministry and his care for those people. During a court appearance, Mr. Stephen, who was his killer, appealed for forgiveness by noting Father Robert's own words. "Father Rene Robert loved me, and I know that he has forgiven me." In Christ, our hearts are filled with the fullness of God. So what is it that fills our hearts by faith with the fullness of God? Richard Stearns, the president of World Vision, reflected on his visit to church in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, nearly a year after that devastating earthquake. The church's building consisted of a tent made from white tarps and duct tape, pitched in the midst of a sprawling camp for thousands of people still homeless from the earthquake. And this is how he describes the church and the lessons he learned. In the front row sat six amputees ranging in age from 6 to 60. They were clapping and smiling as they sang song after song and lifted their prayers to God. The worship was full of hope and with thanksgiving to the Lord. No one was singing louder or praying more fervently than Ms. Demosi Levine, a 32-year-old unemployed single mother of two. During the earthquake, a collapsed building crushed her right arm and left leg. After 4 days, both limbs had to be amputated. She was leading the choir, leading prayer, standing on her prosthesis and lifting her one hand high in praise to God. Following the service, I met Ms. Demosi's two daughters, ages 8 and 10. The three of them now live in a tent 5 feet tall and perhaps 8 feet wide. Despite losing her job, her home, and two limbs, she is deeply grateful because God spared her life on January 12th of that year. "He brought me back like Lazarus, giving me the gift of life." She survived the devastating quake for two reasons: to raise her girls and to continue to serve the Lord for many years more. What is the condition of each of our hearts?
Are our hearts all in for Jesus? Have I a heart for forgiveness such as Christ had for me beyond any hurt or pain I have ever suffered? Do I have the kind of forgiveness like Father Robert? Can I rejoice in Jesus as did the folks in Haiti in spite of any storm or destructive power or any natural disaster or hatred from any person or group? Have we a heart for Jesus? Would you join with me in standing in hymn, singing hymn number 320?